but you're not encouraged to do without coordinating in advance.
I think part of the feeling is like diligently, meticulously planned and poorly executed.
At this point in my life, I try not to do anything that's not diligently planned. At least I impart that wisdom to all of you. Don't do anything that's not meticulously planned. All right. So we have a few things to get through today. We're going to cover a lot of ground. At least that's the plan. And that should set us in the clear, really, to wrap up the main discussion, Makif and Nika, or at least our initial pass on Thursday. The question is, do you guys prefer a general summary of Makif and Nika before we do Runya? Or should we do Runya and then do a summary of Makif and Nika? What do you guys think? There's a little overlap, not huge amounts. We could treat Runya separately. What do you guys prefer?
Summary
first, and then because there's a lot going on here, right? Yeah, I think that makes sense. Okay, so we could do that. Okay, so let me just make one comment picking up from last time. Yeah. Let's do this. And then this. Yeah, you're getting a little spoiled. Last time you asked for 125.
I mean, you went 150.
I know. You gave too much. Okay.
Am I minimizing the video?
Yes, I mind. Okay, we'll minimize Shmuel for now. Shmuel, when you talk up, we'll give you the full screen, okay? Okay, good. So let's start with this one comment. We were talking about
perfect timing. Sorry, not okay.
All right. We were talking about Zen Nana Vizel Lo Chaser, and I was just making the point that Zen Nana Vizel Lo Chaser, or Zen Nana Vizel Chaser, in my view, is a direct application of the concept of Chiyav Mitam Hana. I think that's right. Just there's a proviso that if there's no chaser, then there's really no reason for you to collect reimbursement. There's no unjust enrichment. The guy didn't gain anything at your expense. So there's really no reason to charge the recipient for your costs or to pay for his benefit. Pointed out, there's a very interesting debate in a case where you have a minor chisaron when you impose a significant hana. Is it sufficient for the nana to reimburse you for your chisaron? Then you call it even, because you basically create a situation artificially where it's zen nana vizel lo chaser. Or do we say that once you're chaser kol shu, then he has to pay for all the hana? But I don't think anything deep turns on that debate. And I'd rather view that debate as a technicality about how easy it is to render the situation zen nana vizel lo chaser by being paid the marginal difference of the chisaron. That's just a clean way of thinking about how Zen Nana Vizeh Chaser / Lo Chaser relates to our discussion. I think the most important thing for our discussion now to take away from the Zen Nana Vizeh Lo Chaser discussion is that we want the Hana to also be closely related to the recipient. It's not just enough that he benefits as a byproduct of what you imparted upon him, but there's got to be a sense in which, you know, he's not just a byproduct beneficiary, but there's a sense in which he's causing you the loss, right? The Rishonim say you're chaser machmasa, you're chaser because of it. And what I think that points to, although we're not going to talk about this in any great or rigorous manner now, is that we want the nana to be a prominent party in order to charge him. Does that make sense? Just put abstractly in that way. I think the best application of that idea to our sugya is what the Ramban quotes in the name of the Ravid. See here, the Chishur Ramban and Dalid on the Beis. So remember, the Ramban's view is that the sugya structure is something like this. you have the guy on the inside. It's probably best, let's just think of it this way. Here's the Nika, and the Makif is out here. The wall that's built is built over here, blocking the Rabin from all of their properties. That's just one way of thinking about the Ramban. So the Makif's in here, the Nika is over here, the wall is built over here. That's one way of thinking about it. Maybe even better way of thinking about it is the Makif is out here, the Nika is down here, and the Rabin is over here, and then the Makif builds a wall between himself and the Rabin, and the Nika is like a remote beneficiary. You see that? Because literally he's fully contained within the Makif's wall in this scenario. So the Nikov is really just benefiting in some remote way. So that's one way of thinking about what the Ramban quotes from the Ravid. The Yesh Misha Omer, She'en Mechayven Oso L'Sayeya Imo, Ela Begeder She'Kineged Sadeyu Shel Pnimi. The only time you could be Mechayven the Nikov is if the wall is literally on the boundary, let's say, of the Chatzer of the Pnimi. Aval hageder shekineged hasada hafitzon chutz lepnimi ein misaya imo klal. If there's some wall that's like outside of the boundary of the nikaf, let's say like in this depiction, it's not sensible to hold the nikaf liable for that. You guys see that? That's one way of understanding what the Ramban here is citing from the Ravid. And the way I would explain that is that he's too remote of a beneficiary. Nikaf is too remote of a beneficiary from this wall. In this case, you guys, again, we've shown him disagree. They say you can machayev him in any event. But the thought is that it can't just be that he's piggybacking in some remote way on your wall. There has to be a sense in which he's more of a direct beneficiary. Do you have a thought on that, Zakaria? Maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, I think that's like a principle. I was just kind of, I read the case of it a little differently.
Sure.
And it was, say the first drawing, that's just kind of like the width, the Nika only has to pay half to the wall that's opposite the width of his field, but he doesn't have to pay on the two extremes at all. So those two extremes literally do nothing for it. So
you're imagining like this. You're imagining it like this.
Yeah.
The wall, the Nika pays this amount.
Yeah.
But not that much. Yeah. That's quite possible. It could be that that's what the Ramban here is suggesting.
Like a pretty reasonable thing.
Yeah, that's totally sensible and unexciting.
Right.
Maybe you're right. V'yesh mishum b'shem mechayven oso l'sayeya imo, elo begeder shekineged sadeyu shel pnimi, aval hageder shekineged hasada hachitzon chutz l'pnimi.
I mean,
yeah. That's very possible. That's the better reading of that. Ravid? I want to look back at the Ravid's formulation, see if I could dig up a better formulation of this principle that's closer to my reading. But I agree. I can see that. Your reading is the better reading of the Ramban. Romy?
This is a conceptual question, but why do you have to say that the Hanan is to be like so close? Like, meaning, you could say that even Tamanas, you should be the Nick doesn't need it. Right? Like, why shouldn't that be the case?
Yeah.
Or I guess it works best if we're really calling it unjust enrichment. Like, okay, maybe I just don't have the right to get, like, have them good, I owe someone. Okay.
Yeah. So you think that, like, again, consistent with what you said in the last year, if you're Nana, I have to pay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I believe that, but I could see that.
Yeah, I think that's a totally valid way. And again, even if you take my reading of this Ramban, a lot of research, like it's a Shitas Yachid anyway, right? Yeah. Meaning most, the Derech HaMelech would be to say, well, if you benefit, you pay. But then this other thought is, well, if you're a remote beneficiary of something that's primarily done for somebody else, you're not chayav to pay. We'll see a variation on this principle in the Mulchamos in a moment. How remote, if you're a remote beneficiary, are there still grounds to hold you liable? So like we want some sort of tight connection between the Hana and the Nanda.
Like I can even see it being that, again, work, but I can even see it being true that Zenana is a, well, meaning Zenana is a little chaser, you still should have to play.
Yeah, just as like the fact that you're Nana.
Right.
My point is that there's like a separate principle that if it's no unjust enrichment, there's no basis for making it pay. Great. Okay, so that's just the first comment I wanted to make. Now we get into one of the main issues in our sugya. This is point number two for today. And we already encountered this point, but I want to discuss it with a little more care and detail. So our Gemara is very deliberate or precise in discussing different methods of evaluating the Nikav's responsibility, both in terms of how much is he chayav to pay and under what conditions is chayav to pay. Did anybody document the different permutations in our sugya about what are the different payment possibilities? Demei Netira, Demei Kinan Bezul, Kefi Masha Gadar. Right, if you look on Dalet Amud Beis, all the discussion, all the Baisemas and the Gemara and the Lishna Achrinas, there's about probably six or seven permutations. So we want to know what's going on with those different theories of evaluation. In some cases, it's not just different theories of evaluation, but it's actually different theories about when the chiyuv is triggered for the nika. Right? So what's an example, Rafal? Rafi?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what's an example where it's about... Yeah, what's an example in one of the Abayasemas where it's not about evaluating the price or the value of the benefit, but rather about when the Nikaf is chayav to pay? Say it again? No. In the Abayasema, what's the case where it's a debate about when you're chayav to pay?
I'm forgetting.
All right, it happens to us. Yeah, Eitan, Justin.
Yeah, whether the mouth is melted or
the... Yeah, in the Lishna Achrina, you can see here in Dalet Amud Beis, according to one view in the Gemara, the two Deos in the Mishnah are arguing about, is the Nikav chayiv even when the Makif builds the fourth wall, or only when the Nikav himself gets up and builds the fourth wall? Is this familiar to all of you? Yeah, just come across this in your trek through the Gemara. So the Tanakama Savar, Eitan, why don't you read that for us? Yeah, so only if the Nikaf, according to Rav Yossi, only if the Nikaf builds the fourth wall is he chayiv to pay. What's the rationale? Because the Gilui Das. Now, one way of reading this Gemara is that the Amoraim, sorry, the Tanaim, according to the Lishna Achrina, are debating the underlying legal principle at work here. What are the two possible legal principles, Eitan? No, I don't think so. Maybe, but it's not what I was thinking. Skaria?
It could be whether we're trying to say we're depending on the Gilui Das we have agreed to this contract, or we just say, no, no matter how it happens, since you receive this responsibility upon him, he's got to have to pay.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of it. Doesn't mean that you're wrong for thinking about it differently. Meaning, the Tanakhama is thinking about this in terms of Hana. So who cares which party builds the wall? The guy on the inside benefits, he's got to pay. So it's a chiv of Hana. Rav Yossi disagrees and thinks Hana is not a sufficient reason to machayev. We need a gilei das, denichale. What is the gilei das significant for? In this context, it seems like it's significant for determining liability, not determining the amount of liability, but whether there's a case, whether there's a basis for liability in the first place, right? That's a very important distinction, which suggests to my mind that Rabbi Yossi's view here is exactly as Zacharia said, that you need ex post facto ratification from the Nikaf in order to hold him accountable. So again, so to my mind, that means in a contract, what makes you liable is the fact that you consented to the service. you could consent l'chatchila or you could consent b'dieved. For the purposes of a contract, it's the same moral principle. What matters is that you consented, you supplied your das. And so Rabbi Yossi says the only time the nikah can be held liable is if he gives us a gilui das that he's accepting this, and then he's going to be chayav. Okay, does that make sense, Eitan? Yeah, Eitan.
Is there like potential to say that like under that model that you could take the gilui das like one step further and not just like whether or not he's consented to the service, but to what degree he is? Like, say he fills in the fourth wall with like making it dissolve.
Yeah, for sure. So that's very possible. I would just say that for right now, it's better for us to distinguish between how much you're chayav to pay and whether you're liable. So the amount of debt, the amount of compensation versus the fact of your being chayav. Yeah, especially when it comes to nichale. Because I think in the sugya and b'metzia of kafalif, it's one could argue that nichale just plays the role of determining the scope, the amount of compensation. In our sugya, what's distinctive about the use of nichale is that it's not about the amount of liability, it's about the basis, the fact that you are chayav. And that's a very different use of nichale. That's what I want to extract from here. Are you going to handle this?
Yeah, my question is, when Rabbi Yossi said that you need to give it up, is he removing mechanism to your right, or are you just saying for qualification, your right?
Yeah, so I think that he's just a semantic issue here. If we reserve the concept of your right to refer to Nene, which seems to be the Derech HaMelech in that discussion, then the answer is he's removing the discussion from your right. If you think Yorid itself is ambiguous between both of those interpretations, a Hana interpretation and some sort of ratification, like we impute to him Das that he wanted this, then it's just a different application or an application of the second principle in Yorid.
Maybe this was asking, but why wouldn't Rabbi Yossi agree to, like, if the Hana principle exists? Like, okay, if you receive Hana, I was costed because you gotta pay. Like, once that principle exists.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't agree to it. Right.
Like,
meaning we don't know that, we don't know how widely affirmed the Hana principle is. We have some Amorayim in Bava Metzia, Kefalef, who like it. We don't know the scope of that issue in the Tanaim. And here we have Rabbi Yossi, at least according to some Amorayim, who might deny that principle, right? That's what I would say. But yes, it does. It's a very important, if true, it's an important limitation on the logical space of how broadly supported is yogurt, right? Sorry?
Yeah,
100%.
Like, maybe there's room for the angle with all of us.
Yeah, there's always room. There's always room for the angle with all of us. Yeah. No, we'll be happy. I'll explain when we get there. Okay, and so let me just say that I think the best interpretation, the Rishon that expresses this the most clearly, that Gilui Das to Nichale is not Mitam Hana, is Ned. What? Who's the Rishon who is the clearest that Gilui Das to Nichale is not a Hana principle? If you want to guess the name, you can just look at the board. If you want to tell us the substantive principle, you're going to have to read a whole sentence very quickly. Yeah, Meiri, excellent. But what about the Meiri takes us in this direction? That Gilui Das to Nichale is about that you've ratified, that you've consented to the service after the fact. So let's read through this. Ned, you want to read that for us, or did I wake you up from your dogmatic slumber?
That's
what Kant said about Hume. Hume woke him, roused him from his dogmatic slumber. You have to talk about 10 times louder. All right, you don't read the whole thing.
Exactly. well then allow it to fold. So
so only if the nikaf does it, right? This is the lishnah krina. Right? So it's exclusively in the case where the nikaf is goder the fourth wall that he's tired to pay. Now, from a hanel point of view, it shouldn't matter whether he's right. He does it or the market does it. So what's the rationale? Hoil. So which words there are significant for establishing that nichale is a quasi contract or a contractual principle, not a hana principle. So tell us all of them. So again, so we have hol begila bedaita shenoach lavekach harehu kimishin esrata bivinyano shelza harehu kiilu asao bishlichusa. So keywords. Exactly. Yeah, I would say both of those are the keywords. Harehu kimishin esrata bivinyano. That's clearly a consent language, correct? It's as if you consented to the building. And it's as if he did it at your request. That's an even stronger contractual formulation. It's as if you called him up and asked him to perform the service. So for me, what's really important about this Miri, again, is not the fact of Gilui Das, that the Gemara tells us, but it's the explication of the legal significance of Gilui Das in terms of Ritzui and Shlichus. So I think this is just an awesome Miri for clearly characterizing this principle, whether it's a Yored principle or a non-Yored principle, as when you have a Gilui Das, the Nichalei after the fact, the reason why you're chayav to pay is because it's as if you contracted the service, not the fact that you benefited. Zacharia and then Josh.
Yeah, maybe there's like a small grammar point. Like the phrase, it's like no hold of half, having about it now. They says Misha Nifran said, then I know. I think maybe like translate, like he had found this building favorable, as in he had agreed to it, as in it's actually in that exact grammatical term, but it's like
in the imperfect, happy about it. In the perfect past or the imperfect past,
something like that. As in past perfect, like he had agreed to it, but I'm saying it like explicitly.
Yeah, so it's as if we go back in time,
yeah,
and we say because this kiyul asal b'shlichuso is clearly going back in time, as if you asked him to perform the service, and you're saying kamishan esratza bivinyano is not just ex post facto, but it's as if like you're on board all the way through.
As if he kind of agreed.
Yeah, I think that's a great diuk. I don't know if the diak is itself grammatically true. I think the sratza could be both, right? It's as if you consented. I think it's open between which point in time. But I think you're right that it's consistent with your consenting l'chatchila. Right? Or we impute consent to you l'chatchila. You guys agree? Okay, so everybody on board for this reading of the Miri? Josh?
Yeah, for the Miri. But it is possible that the Machlokes Gemara is just within Hanah, right?
Yes. I mean, in the Gemara itself, it's conceivable that it's an application of Yored,
right,
with an evidentiary question. Are we willing to always impute Hana to you that most people benefit, so we assume you benefit, or do we need some signal from you to show that you benefit? Right? It's Gilui Das. So I agree. The Gemara itself, Nichale could just be doing that that role. And then in that Tosos, which Zacharia posted on the WhatsApp, I think you could have the same back and forth about, but in this Miri, the language is just so beautiful and so clear and so conceptually elegant and precise that there's just no other way to read the Miri. Everybody agree? Yeah. This is why the Miri is so great, amongst other things. This is one reason why the Miri is really so awesome. Great. Thoughts on this? Everybody persuaded? Okay, excellent. Romy, this sounds good to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're sold on the Miri?
That I think he's right, or that I think the Miri is right?
That this is what the Miri is saying. Whether he's right or not, I think it's above our pay grade to adjudicate.
Yeah.
Right? maybe it's in your pay grade, but and I was writing something up and I was thinking about taking a stance on which Rishon I thought I was right. I thought it would come off a little, people wouldn't like that. So I shied away from doing it. No, but there are times when there's clearly Rishonim who are right and others who are wrong. No. Here in Yorei, the sugya is such a mess. It's just too difficult to know. Okay, great. So now we move into the second major area I want to, I guess is the third topic, but the second major issue that I want to discuss today, and that is to start shifting our focus to the rate of compensation. How much are you chayiv to pay? So we're going to move away from this distinction between nene and nichale. We're going to talk about nichale gilui das, but now within a different context of how much are you chayiv to pay? I should say that to our minds, I guess to your minds also, these are obviously two separate principles, right? That you're chayiv to pay and how much you're chayiv to pay. So for example, in the Yoreid Sugya, the most important principle is that you're chayiv to pay for Anna. Then you have a second question, which is almost like a question for the jury. Well, how much do you pay when you're Nana? Full market value, subjective, benefit rates, something in between. But these are two separate questions, right? That should be obvious to everyone. The Ramban, in his Kiddushim and in his Mochamos, does a very nice job here connecting our sugya to Yoreid. That's an important point, which we spoke about already, the reading of our sugya as being a subset of Yoreid principles, in contrast to the Baal HaMor's reading, who sees our sugya as a subset or an application of Hezek Riya Takana principles, correct? But what's interesting about the Ramban is that he then tries to line up the debate in our sugya about how much you pay with the debate or the different views in Bava Metzia Kovalev about how much you pay. And in Bava Metzia Kovalev, it's actually not clear whether there are three rates of compensation or only two rates of compensation. Anybody remember what the Gemara had there? What are the different theories of evaluation in Bava Metzia Kovalev? Romy?
But
Yad Al Yona, Yad Al Yona, Yad Al Yona. Yeah, so
we got Yad Al Yona, Chastona,
anything else? And then I don't remember the guy, Kamo, Shadon, something like that, yeah. Yad Al Yona, Yad Al and Shasle a year. It's not clear if all these are in the Gemara, but certainly if you put together the Tosefta and what the Rishonim say with what the Gemara says, Yad Al Yona, Yad Al and Shasle a year. Roughly translated, Tachtona means a lower type of compensation. Yod El Yona means like a high market rate compensation. And Shasle a year is something like, let's just say, the going market rate for such a service. So maybe Shasle a year is like what a standard, the standard market will bear for this. There's actually an internal debate within the Rishonim there about what El Yona and Tachtona means. Rashi and a few other Rishonim and Tosefta suggest that it means you evaluate the benefit that the guy received. So what's the improved value of the field from the planting? You evaluate the cost that the planter incurred, and you either give the higher, under the Yad Al Yona, you give the higher amount. Under Yad Al Tachtona, you give the lesser amount. That's the standard view in the Rishonim. Is that clear? So if the marginal improvement to the field is $1,000, and the cost of buying the tree is $100, then under Yad Al Yona, the owner pays $1,000. Under Yad Al Tachtona, he pays $100. Okay, that clear, everybody? And if the benefit is less than the cost, let's say the cost is $150 and the benefit is $10, then under Yad Al Yona, the guy pays the set owner pays the cost, $150. Under Yad Al Tachtona, he just pays a marginal benefit to the field, which is lesser. Right? I think it's at $15, $10. All right. What happens when you have a short-term memory loss? Okay, so that's the standard view in the Rishonim. It's Rashi's view, it's the Tosefta's view. The Baal HaMor, again, in that sugya, goes his own way and incurs the wrath of all the Rishonim once again. And he says, forget about that theory of evaluation of the cost versus the benefit. you just look at the market rate. Every market has a spread. And Yad Elyona means that you tend towards the more expensive curve in the market. Yad Elyona means you go to the lower curve of the market. So for example, if the gardening landscaping services tend to range dramatically, so let's say at the higher end of the scale, these landscaping services would cost $1,000. The lower end, it would cost $500. Yad Elyona just means you look to the more elite services at the higher end, and Yad Elyona means you go for the kind of the illegal immigrants who do it for a bare minimum wage, something like that. All right, everybody good? That summary, Eitan.
Under like the first formulation, it seems like when we're talking about Yad Elyona and say like it's the like what your field was worth versus what it's worth now.
Yeah.
It seems like, say, in the case of Yore, like you're also, you're like, if someone makes an improvement on your field for you, like you're robbing them of the opportunity to make that improvement for itself.
Yes.
Himself would cost them very little and have a ton.
Yes. So we're, so we'll talk about that. There's actually a whole literature in the Rishonim that basically would give you a credit for whether you would do it on your own, right? Or if you have a guy who does it for cheaper. And so we'd actually reduce this method of evaluation by that amount. So the example is like, if you would rather, instead of going to the gym, you'd rather shovel your own walk and some guy does it for you, you could argue I got zero benefit because I actually benefit from doing the service myself. Yeah, so there is discussion of that in the channel. And we'll see some of that in the Ramban that we're gonna look at. So these are the methods of evaluating evaluation in both Nisya Kavalik, that's Yorid. What do we have in our Sugya? What are the theories of evaluation? What's going on in our Sugya? Anybody want to tell me? Benji, you want to tell me the theories of evaluation in our Sugya? Rumor has it you're not so happy with the Sugya itself.
Where are you hearing these from?
What does Kohelet say that Sipor Menash Shemayim promised them?
That either you have to pay for, either you have to pay for the Hakah, which you receive.
Well, in our Sugya, what does the Gemara itself say?
So it's either you have to pay for half of the wall itself.
Kifimash Agadar.
Kifimash Agadar or Barzul.
Or what?
The Barzul.
Yeah.
Or
let's say Kenan Bizzle. So cheap, a cheap rickety fence, literally. A reed fence, I guess. And what's the third shita in our Gemara? Remember, Benji?
For the person that
lost. Yeah. What does the Gemara call that? Natira Barzuza? Is that the Gemara's phrase?
Yeah.
So that's just like the burn security guard. They still have burn security here. Not called burn security anymore. Yeah. Whatever security guard why you hire, but imagine that they're not unionized. So literally like the going rate for somebody to sit there at the door twiddling their thumbs and just look at you as you walk in.
I think the benefit is you only have to do it when the rain is up, like a month a year.
Okay.
That's the
life. Yeah, so it's like a cheap, you have a guy sitting there screaming at people as they walk. Or it's actually deep in the Rishonim, because is he protecting the field from people taking? Is he scaring away people who would be looking at the crops? If it's a Hezekiah Sugya, the Miria has something to say about that. So we actually have three different methods of evaluation in our Sugya. Literally, what the Makif built. So let's say if you built an expensive wall, not an expensive wall. The cheapest type of wall that would accomplish the security needs that the Sada requires, or no wall, but a watchman who would scare away sheep or straying bypassers. Good? Benji, is that right? Okay. Now, of course, there are separate issues that come up in the Gemara about when is he chayav to pay. Like Amad Makif, Amad Nikav, and for how many of the walls is he chayav to pay? just the radius or also 1, 2, and 3. We're going to come back to that question later. Let's focus on these three right now. So the Ramban says, R slug is an application of Yorei. So how do these theories of evaluation align with the theories of evaluation in Bava Metzia Kevalev in the Yorei Tzigya? So what does the Ramban say? So let's take a look at the Ramban. Let's start with the Chidushim. From what I understand, the Chidushim are written before the Machamos. I think that's the standard interpretation of like the Ramban's bibliography. So it's just kind of, it's interesting here to see what gets added and what's changed between the Machamos and the Chidushim. So let's start with the Chidushim, which is a little bit of a later work. So the Ramban starts off, says, we'll talk about this macha issue in a second. Udidi lo kashya. So our sugya is dome li yorei. Strange here that he says dome b'miktas. Skaria pointed this out. In the Machamos, he doesn't say dome b'miktas. Right, so maybe the Ramban actually went backwards here. And in the Machamos, he thought it's exactly like yorei. And then in the Chidushim, he's like, well, maybe it's like somewhat like yorei.
No one was wondering. I think there's no one in the mix asking. You have to wonder what din is excluded. What din of yours
is excluded?
Maybe that's exactly what explained the last one.
So, yeah. Okay, maybe.
Yeah,
let's see. So ours is like Yurid of Sadeh Haverio. Talks about Macha, which we'll get to in a second. Okay, so Afkan. Yes. So what's going on here? Afkan. Benji, did you get a chance to see this?
Yeah.
Kivan Sheyarad.
Kivan Sheyarad, the Gada, the Sadeh Asim, the Tzrich of the Kach. Any Achol is the Sodra, Ella, Shemina, Love, Kidomre, Shalom, Birushu.
Okay, very important phrase. What's the Ramban's position there?
That in the way that this is analogous to Yorei, is that it's like a Sadeh Asim. Since,
Yeah, so this is like a Sadeh Suyalita, meaning
that neighborhood.
Exactly. And therefore, if we apply the principle of your raid, which rate of compensation would you get from Bava Metzia Kevalev? Sadeh Suyalita?
Oh, yeah.
Yana Hal Yana. Perfect. Ramban says, our case is a Suyaligar. So you get Yada Hal Yana. And that's why you pay full market rate. And he says, well, v'hainu depligi amoroi b'gemara. This is actually what underlies the debate in our sugya. What's the debate? Mar amar.
Mar amar, I hope we'll keep matching other the healthy, mara nichole, the sada suri, the coffee. This is like the standard case of yore. In that case, you would have to, pay for the yore.
Yeah, so the Ramban's very explicit that our case, at least according to the Banda Amar who holds Kefi Masha Gadar, views this as a Sadeh Asuyalita. If it's a Sadeh Asuyalita, a Sadeh that's made for this type of improvement, then you get it all you. That's the, and so the Ramban, I guess, implicitly thinks that whatever the Makif did, that's considered like actually compensating him for the benefit is considered Yad Aliyah in our sugya. The other one being these two, right? They kind of morph into each other.
Yeah.
Right, the making of Bizzol and Matir Barzuza.
I would say that this field is not a Suri lead door, some massive, really big wall, but it's just, it's not to build a big wall, it's also to either build a small wall or have a security guard.
Lafika.
You don't know Toki or the Sadash, you know a Suri Lita, so it's more analogous in case of,
Okay, hold off on that for a second. So Ramban says that these other views, you say you only pay for the cheap wall, right, for the cost of a cheap wall, even though you got a nice wall, they align with the view that this is a Sadeh She'enu Asuyalita. So I guess the Ramban thinks it's Machlokas and Metzias, right? Like these Amoraim are just debating, like, I don't know, is your Stom field in a Bicca made for a nice wall or for a cheap wall? But either way, the different theories of evaluation in Arsugya align with the debate of the Sada Sialita Ena Sialita on the theory that it's Ena Sialita. What the Gemara calls the Bamitsiya Yadol Hatsona, that would be like literally the cheaper type of wall or the cost of a security guard. Right? So I think Narman's theory is pretty clean and straightforward. Benji, you agree?
Yeah, except kind of in this next line where he says, is that like, meaning since he could say that, since he could say, you know, rip it all up, therefore he only has to pay for the...
Yeah, this is a really interesting point. The Ramban here, you guys see the issue that Benji's raising? Why does the Ramban merge the discussion of Asielita and Asielita rate of compensation issue, how much do you pay, with the issue with the right to say toletz kavavanah, right? Reverse the benefit that you do. So remember the Ramban that we saw in Bamitsiya said you can only make that claim in the Sada Shein Asielita. That was the Ramban's theory. Is that not familiar? So Benji's right to ask, why does the Ramban tie together the Sada Ena Sialita lower rate of compensation with the right to demand that the Mehane, that the Yore, reverse the benefit? Everybody see his question? So what do you think is the answer? Because he says, right, Lafika gets a Sada Ena Sialita, Sheyachalomar Talitz Haravanecha, Vilich, and that's why Yina Mishali Melakinim Onatur Dezuza. That's why you only pay this lower rate.
Something
where
I needed
to need
more
to
the
Zuzah,
or if you
even look at
the question whether
it's even
in that area at all, then
you
can say you want it at all.
So, let's say I don't want any of this. So, and when I say that, I just have to pay the lower amount. Shouldn't the theory be if I say reverse it, that I'm not required to pay anything? Josh?
Isn't it that since he could say reverse it, so if he doesn't say reverse it, he pays less. But if he said reverse it, he pays up.
It's interesting.
That's not what I was saying.
Yeah, that's a really good read. So Josh is saying maybe what's going on here is since he could always say tol etzcha v'avanecha, and he doesn't, right? That's how you're reading it.
Right.
So, so that's why he's at least got to pay kinim or natura dezuza.
Because there's like some nichale, let's say, on that minimum hanah. But if he were to actually exercise his right and say pull a sub of an afro gamri, then what?
Then you'd pay nothing. I think that's a plausible read. You guys agree with Josh's plausible with that reading? I think it's a pretty interesting read. It's how you like it?
I think it's plausible. I think maybe just like to bring them on that at home. Maybe just say like, listen, this is how maybe that's like the reason we're not radiating holding up on that is to remind us like what Enos Yonita really means and why someone get paid yet all possible. Because I never wanted this in the first place. I think he's just giving his own kind of like smara why Yon all put it makes sense, but make no mistake that this is
right.
Like fancy time game going on. This is the classic thing of Yobi.
It's like the same thing that explains why you could say Tol Yitzchav Avanecha explains why you only play Yadol Tachtona.
Yeah.
It's like Enu Asu Yilikach and something along those lines.
I mean, otherwise, it's a weird thing, you know, probably Tanya with Botak, right? So, like, identifying Enu Asu Yilita with his own skittish about the
problem. Right. Yes. Let me just say, oh, yeah, Romy.
No, I don't have an answer. That's just weird because he's. It's like just
what Zachariah said is weird, what Josh said is weird, or what the Ramban
says. It pushes the question even further. Like it should be that if I wanna if it's in a subject and I wanna, you know, retract on to take back what he did, and I should take it back. But once I accept what he did,
pay market rate, yeah. So it's like Gila Das to Nicholas.
It doesn't really answer why the answer that it just put the question on the back, it doesn't answer. Why you don't
get a floor? Yeah, so it's still a bit of a tricky, I guess, Josh's finish is that when it's a Sada Shein Asiyalita, you you never have to pay the full, like there's no Gilead Das issue to pay full market rate. Like you're always going to be maxed out at this other Hana rate.
Right, that's what I'm saying. All Jonathan did was shift the question to
why is that
why
severe?
There are multiple, you know, rates in the first.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. We're going to come back to this in a moment. We look at the Milchamos because the Ramban there says something different. I don't know if you caught that in the Milchamos. Pretty striking. So we'll zoom in on this issue in a second in the Milchamos. Let me just make one other point, then we'll take Benji's comment in the Ramban. Do you guys get a sense of what's going on here in this Vim Tomar discussion in the Ramban? This long section. Basically, the Ramban's worried about... remember, the Ramban thinks that it's a wall that's not between the properties. So the Ramban's worried. Sometimes people build walls on their properties to keep out animals and other people. So the worry is that, just to use my marker again, if the Makif is over here and he builds a wall from the Rabban, the Makif might say, hey, I'm actually under contract to build a wall here to keep out your annoying children and animals from my property. And so once I build my own wall, I benefit nothing from your wall. Everybody see that? That's the discussion in the Ramban. And the Ramban's answer seems to be in a Hanami. Like if he could show that he's actually going to build his own wall, then he's not on the hook for anything with the Makif, because in fact, he benefits nothing from that extra wall. And the Ramban does a calculation. The Ramban says, oh, maybe this wall keeps out the Rabban. And then once you have this wall, it's enough to have like a tiny fence to keep out the squirrels or the raccoons from in between the properties. In which case, the amount you benefited would be further reduced. Eitan, this is like your point. Like if you like shoveling yourself, right? Then the amount you benefit is reduced. So to hear the Ramban says, well, you actually have to see, does the Mikaf benefit if he was going to build a wall on his own? The Ramban says, well, if he partially benefits nevertheless, because this wall keeps out the noise and this wall keeps out the animals, then he only pays partially, like in proportion to the amount that he actually benefits. So that's another principle that emerges from the Ramban, that you actually have to do the empirical analysis to see how much you benefit. So you could say, Vim Tomar, Velema, Lamachara, Nio, Ata, Rodson, Ligdor, Bentayim, Vein, Gedra, Achitza, Mahana, Osi, Klum. And maybe the guy on the inside can make this argument. And the Ramban's answer is like, Enechami, like if he could make that argument, then he's off the hook in paying. And the Ran is also very clear about that. Okay? So I think it's an obvious point, but it just reinforces the underlying legal principle that you're liable to pay for benefiting. If in fact you don't benefit, then either the point is you don't have to pay anything or the amount you have to pay is just zero. Yeah, Benji?
Just a question on that second part of the wall. It seemed that if the Makif builds like that outer wall,
yeah,
if the Makif has a huge property, the Mikaf has like a much smaller proportional property, then the Mikaf is on the hook for half of the Makif's wall. So, I mean, if the Makif owns like 100 acres and you know, he makes a multi-million-dollar contract to like build a huge fence around the entire thing, you know. Little grandma's house is in Mikaf.
Right.
Grandma's on the hook for half that multi-million-dollar contract. For-
well, I think that's Zachariah's reading of the Ramban's Yesh Omrim.
Yeah, that's not very powerful.
Right. Would be that you only pay Keneged the Bayis HaPnimi.
Right. Which makes
so,
like,
what about the other dams?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So your point is if there's a wall like out here, and there's a guy on the inside of a little hut. Kind of seems unfair to make him pay 50% of this when all he really needs is this amount, right?
Right.
So the writer, that Yishomrim, is really saying pays for this. Right? Something like that.
Right. So
that you like. You just don't understand the other sheet that. Right.
That meaning any benefits for the hunt, like. Also, what if we saw the Mikaf causing? The fact that, like, now that in order to have the same area, he needs to widen the perimeter.
Well, now you drag us into that discussion in Tavakama Dafcha.
Right.
Atkaram Tlia Kefe Yasebo. We don't want to get dragged into there. You know, you see, all the Rishonim have different things to say about what exactly, you know, that means. But that's the Zenen of Zechaser issue, really.
Right. Right. So this EH owner is saying that he only has to pay for the $100 a day.
Yeah. Well, I think everybody's going to agree to that. That's my view.
We could say that.
It just gets a little, annoying. And this is like every Besden case to figure out, exactly how much you benefited, right? It's hard. It's always hard to know. The wall's keeping out the Robin. So what's your fair share of that? It's like every tax policy question, right? What's the fair way to divvy up the burden?
Alternatively,
I agree with you. It may not be fair to do 50% of this. This seems a little too easy. Does he actually gain by... Here he benefits from not having to have a wall around his property. Maybe this, the atonement view is too little, right? You should give her more than that. Or take, for example, let's say it keeps up, like along the highway, they build all these noise barriers now. So a noise barrier wouldn't work if it was just around your house, right? The whole point is that it's got to be like near the sound waves or the highway. You can't let them grow too big. So the wall just has to be built out there. So you can't just say, oh, we'll just make you pay as if it was the inside. So it gets complicated in all those cases. But we have the luxury of focusing just on the legal principle, which is pay the amount of your HMNOG. And then we could, hire experts to figure out exactly how much you
were. So we have to say that he has to pay for the seller that it costs.
I don't think so, right? That, well, if you do, that's like a zenen of zeloch, zenen of zechaser question of both combo. Yeah.
We're saying we're not good. No, we don't deal with that.
We're going to try to stay clear of that for now. Okay, so again, just 3 points we've seen so far in the Rambam. Number one, let's make sure that's right. 2 points. Yes, we saw 2 main points in the Rambam so far. Point number one is the Rambam aligns the theories of evaluation in Bava Kama, in Bava Mitzia of Kuf Aleph with Bava Basra Dalet Amud Beis. Everybody see that? Asad Asir Lita, Asad Shein Asir Lita. Point number two is that Rambam thinks if you weren't Nene, because you're going to build a wall anyway on your own perimeter, then you're not chayav to pay. There's a third point here, just put it in the back of your file, in the back of your mind for now, about the relationship between Tol Eitz Chavav Anecha and the Rambam's point that you pay a lower compensation for Sada Shein Asir Lita. We'll come back to that in just a moment. So this brings me to a point, let's call this number four now in the Ramban, which we discussed already at length, so I'm just going to mention it now for completion's sake, is that the Ramban, in trying to distinguish our case from, or the legal principle at work in our sugya from the principle on Daf Beis of Hezekria, said, what's the difference? Is that for Hezekria, you can't be mocha in advance to defeat liability. And under the Takkan of Hezekria, if your neighbor is building it, you have a duty to chip in. But you can't say, hey, I don't want a Hezekria wall. You have a chiyav mitam nezikin to participate. But under a theory of Yored, the thing is very, the Ramban thinks that it's very obvious that you have a right to mocha in advance to defeat liability. So nobody has a right to confer a benefit upon you and demand compensation when you object to it. What they do have a right to do is to confer the benefit and collect when you fail to object to it. So that's what Ramban very clear about. He says, "Ilam etchila ba limlechu michal yado ino rashai ligava." The efshar she'ino chayev lo klum. So let's just look at that formulation for a second. In the case of Yored, where you object, so Eino Rashai Ligaba, V'efshar She'eino Chayav Lo Klum. So what do you think the Ramban is struggling? What's he saying here? Ned?
Once you object, you better make sure that you're not going to get something out of it.
Say it again?
Once you object, you're not going to get anything out of
it. Again?
Once you object,
so your point is that by objecting, you're not getting any, you're showing that you're receiving a benefit?
You're showing that you have no intention to receive any benefit.
Okay, that's definitely one way of interpreting this, for sure.
So once you're moche, eino chayav lo klum, because you receive no benefit.
Great. That's one way of bringing this. So we want to know how much this is worth to you, let's say, and when you're moche, we know that this is worth nothing to you, right? You say no fences wanted here, right? There's another way of reading this. Romy, have a thought?
Well, it seems like he's struggling with the fact that if you protested, but then the guy says anyway, like having Jewish benefit, how is he really going to say if you want to take it at all?
Yeah, the Ramban is definitely struggling with that after the Afshar. Right, the Afshar Shein Ochayev Lo Klum. The Ramban's not like sold on this legal argument yet, even though he does advocate for it here. Whoa! So I think that phrase is very intriguing. Well, what do you think that phrase means? Michal Yado,
translate that for me. In a Rasha Ligabo.
Who? The Nikov's not allowed to touch it.
Yeah. Relate to
anyway. Oh, interesting. That's not how I read that. I read that phrase as referring to the makif or the yorid. So if you tell the yorid, I don't want any improvements here, then he's not allowed to come and touch your property. Same for the makif. You tell the makif, I don't want a wall, he's not allowed to build the wall 50% on your property. Josh?
Yeah, like I was going to say, it's less about a not, it's more about the owner is exercising his property rights, saying,
yeah,
it's necessary for you to do this. Now, if the guy does it, you violate a certain, like, you wouldn't be okay for it.
Yeah, isn't that, you guys hear what Josh said? I think that's a really great point. And the explanatory power that it has over Ned's suggestion
that when you're both in advance, there's a healing das that you're getting no hana. That's almost like an evaluative issue for your man.
Josh is saying, no, in Rasha Ligabo means that you have no right to touch his property. And there the Ramban saying that itself, you know, like a wrongful trespass is what defeats liability. Right? That's why, you know, maybe in Ohio, the Shalim would clump.
But
so it seems like in this case, I think you're building a wall like 50%. I'm assuming.
Or unless the Ramban is just talking about the Yorid paradigm here, where in a Yorid paradigm where you're moche in advance, you're not allowed to go and plant a tree in this property. I think the 50% building some of it on the side. Remember, so the idea here is that the mehane, the makif, is not allowed to use the property of the Nika. Just if you're applying this principle to our case. I think in this phrase, the Ramban is talking about the Yorid discussion, right?
Yeah,
so it's
yes,
like.
Yes. We're going to transfer it over to
our Sigya.
It's difficult to suggest that putting a wall 1 foot away from the person's field is not a benefit.
Right, but if you're moche in advance, then you're not obligated to pay. Why? Because we can't force somebody to receive benefits against their will. Your point is that it can't just be about the property rights.
Yeah.
Because maybe there's no offense to the property rights if it's done on the makif's property, and yet macha in advance is going to work to exempt the nikah.
Yeah.
I agree. It's an interesting point. So you're saying that Josh's analysis, would Josh's analysis help us for a case where the property rights of the Nizak are not violated? And I think Josh's point will just be, well, compelling him to pay is a kind of violation of his, you know, determining how he's going to use his money.
Here it sounds like what I said, the case. by Enon Rasha. In the event that he does, he did something positive. And therefore we can't hold somebody accountable because there is
no or we're not the Ramban's not even sure, right? It's Vafshar. Maybe it's Vafshar because the Ramban's not sure if the wrongfulness automatically makes it the case they don't have a duty to pay. Yeah, interesting. I think it's an interesting point, but I agree with Josh that once you're moche, you've asserted like your claim that you don't want it, and it's not just that you're not nene, but you have a right, at least lechatchila, to determine what benefits you want to receive and what you don't want to receive. Right? You just don't want to pay for this. Yeah. Everybody with me on that? Yeah. So I think that's a really interesting back and forth. And that's what I want to take out of the mochamos, out of the chidushim for now. So four major points in the Mochamos, just to, again, the connection between the Yuri evaluation, Har Sugya, Asiyalita, Ein Asiyalita, so the theories of evaluation line up. Number two, the Ramban is pretty clear that if you're not Nene at all, then you don't have to pay. Number three, that Macha in advance works, okay? Number four is that side issue, which we'll come back to about the relationship between Tolei Tzcha B'Avanecha and paying lower rate compensation. Rumi?
Yeah, why is the Ramban say that works even the Sada Asiyalita? You already need the one that says that.
Yeah.
That's where you
want
to
put this effort? For what? Yeah. So, because Ramban thinks there's something very special about being Moche in advance.
Right.
Like the fact that you told him not to be here changes the moral dynamic significantly.
Right. I mean, that must be what you're saying.
Yes, yeah, so Romy, this should make you uncomfortable because you've always been on the side that you pay for a benefit received, right?
I don't know.
Right? That's like in your view. Sorry, I shouldn't tie everything back into that. But the Ramban's saying, not unless you're Moche in advance, right?
Right. I guess when that last Ramban, where he says that, I assume that man, he thinks this is objectively beneficial, and so that's not what he thinks.
Right, because if you're Moche in advance, even if it's objectively beneficial, you're not chayav to pay. It seems
I feel like it's a little bit like the three walls thing. If I get like Moche beforehand, I can be Moche after.
Yeah, you're saying why does the power of Macha work in advance?
More than it should have.
Yeah. So let's see. The Ramban here doesn't. I guess Eino Rashai Ligava is interesting. It sounds like an autonomy thing. You know, it's one thing to take the phrase that Noah posted and Zachariah mentioned just now in the WhatsApp in the Reb Shmuel about a person can't be compelled to receive benefits against his will. So you might say Minastam. A person could be given a benefit and required to pay for it if it's neutral. We don't really know what his intention was. But like if a person expresses his desire, it'll be wrong to... Right?
I guess what bothers me is that the difference between Masala before and Masala afterwards is only whether I had the opportunity to build it. So like if you went in the middle of the night and built it, like I couldn't have built it, I didn't know what you were doing it
right.
On one night. I'm like,
right, right.
I'm stuck.
Except you might say that, the way I conceptualize it is that the main rule is that you have to pay for Hana. But the Torah gives you, like, an out for you to exercise control of your property, which is to put up a sign saying no unwanted improvements wanted here.
So what if we, like, have a, what if, like...
It's like a way of opting out of the default rule of halacha. That's one way of thinking of it. But go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just thinking like you could argue about this is actually true, but let's say it's true that in America nobody wants, assume that nobody wants to come into their property doing anything.
Yeah. So does that change the? Yeah, I think it's an interesting question, but I don't have a definitive answer.
Yeah, no, I just
yeah, 100%. Okay, guys, everyone okay with the Ramban and the Chidushim? Yeah. Okay. So there's more to think about on that front about especially that last phrase about Rasha Ligava. And whether like the wrongfulness of doing it when you're told not to is what bars you from being compensated. Well, let's look now at the Mochamos. The Mochamos mostly restates what the Chidushim said. The Ramban here again, he connects the Sugyas, Shehu Dome Eli Yored, Lusav Sadech Haver Asiyalita. Notice not Dome B'Miksas anymore in the Mochamos, which is just interesting. The Ramban says, the view that it's Hakol Masha Gadar, is because Stam Sada is a Suya Legeder Yafa, so Yedo Al Yona, Vada Nichale, etc., etc.
The other views of Dmei Natura and Dmei Kinyan Bezal say it's Sadash Ein Asiya Alita, so it's Ein Asiya Legeder Binyan, and therefore it's like a Sadash Ein Asiya Alita, and you pay this lower rate of compensation. So far it's all good, right? Everything's the same. But then he says, in a Sadash Ein Asiya, She'im Ratzal Omer Lo Tol Eitz Chavav Anefa, Ein Asiya Alita, you could tell the guy to reverse the benefit, like the Rif Paskins. Now read this phrase. Hilkach. Notice that bolded phrase in the highlighted section does not appear in the Chiddushim. Hilkach im ratza yaros v'yitol shelo. Ve'im lav, mishalim lo zeh, d'mei hakinim. Hakonim, to hashomer. Shalekach hu asuya. So what role is the tol eitz chavav anecha playing here? Ned? Altogether? So if you say Tol Eitz Chavav Anecha, so the problem we had in the Chiddushim, the Ramban said, if you say Tol Eitz Chavav Anecha, you're paying the lower rate of compensation. Or at least on Josh's reading, it sounded like if you say Tol Eitz Chavav Anecha, so your failure to say Tol Eitz Chavav Anecha is mechayev you to pay for Dmei Kinyan Bezal, right? So is that what the Ramban's saying here? She'im ratza omer lo tol eitz chavav anecha. Hilkach im ratza yaharos v'yitol shelo. Who's the subject there? They think it's the makif? Maybe. So one way to read this is, it's an ambiguous pronoun. So one way to read this is the makif now has the right to remove the thing, and take back his wool, correct? And if he does that, I guess the makif recovers his expenses, and the nigaf pays zilch. The nigaf doesn't have to pay anything. He says, Tol Eitz Chavav Anecha. That's consistent with Josh's reading. Right? If you actually exercised your right of Tol Eitz Chavav Anecha, then you don't pay anything. But if you fail to do that, I'm sorry. The imlav, wait, I'm sorry, I got confused. Let's work with the pronoun imratza referring to the makif. Sorry. This is against Josh's reading.
Sorry.
It's
okay.
Leave the room. No, okay. So let's assume it's talking about the makif. So the nikaf gives the makif the right to reverse it, yes? So if the makif exercises that right, he gets his materials back and the nikaf pays nothing. I guess they're at net even, right? Because the nikaf now receives no benefit. But what if the makif doesn't exercise the right, and he says, "Oh, I'm going to leave it as is. I'm not going to call a demolition company." So ve'im lav mishalim lozeh demei akinin oh hashomer shalakachu asuya. It's a big chiddush. It means then that even when the nikaf says tol eitz chavav anecha, that just gives the makif the option to remove it. But it doesn't absolve the nikaf from liability if the makif chooses to leave the wall in place. So if the makif calls the nikaf's bluff and says, I'm not going to remove it, then the nikaf is on the hook for yadol ha-tachtona. Exactly. So Tol Eitz Chavav Anecha is not really a power to defeat liability in a Yorid case on this reading. Tol Eitz Chavav Anecha is just a means to allow the Yorid to reverse it. And it shows that you don't really want it, which puts you on the hook for a lower rate of compensation. Everybody see that?
Aren't you already paying that lower rate of compensation? So, what's like
Yeah, so Tol Eitz Chav Avanecha is like your way of saying, I guess if it was Nichale, so like if you saw the wall and you loved it, and you said, oh, thank you so much, I always wanted a wall, then by expressing your intention of liking it, that'll up your level of compensation. And so you kind of have to like stiff shoulder and say, oh, I hate this thing, take it back, and that's what knocks you down to the lower rate of compensation.
Even though
they
have to
do visa,
like,
yeah, so, yeah. Correct. Yeah. So Josh is making a really excellent point. Do you remember in the Sukkim Bav Metzia this came up, where the guy trespassed and planted, and the guy said, I don't want it. So Rab said, okay, pay him a low rate. Said, I don't want it. So he said, okay, pay nothing. And then the guy started tending to it. So he said, oh, pay him the higher rate. Because you were Megala Das that you loved it. So Josh is making a really important point. That even in a sada in asuya lita, if it's megala das to michale, that could bump you up to a higher level of compensation.
Yeah, I mean, I was more asking that. Right?
Yeah.
I just didn't really address that in the last one. I thought there was, you know,
that is automatically. So what you're saying now is a very important qualification.
Yeah.
In which case, the taina of tol eitz chav avanecha is what knocks you down to make kinyan bezel. Everybody see that? This is against Josh's reading of the Ramban and the Chiddushim. There's another way to read this, because according to Josh's reading in the Chiddushim, right, the whole point is once you exercise Tol Eitz Chav Avanecha, you're off the hook entirely, and it's only the Nikaf's failure to say Tol Eitz Chav Avanecha that makes him pay to make Kinyan Bezul. Everybody see that? Now, there's another way of reading this Ramban, where you go the opposite way. You say Tol Eitz Chav Avanecha. Hilkach. Now, do you think this is a plausible read? Hilkach, the Nikaf could destroy, let's assume the wall is built 50-50, right? So the guy built a wall in between the two properties. The Nikaf has the right to knock down the wall, or at least the part of the wall that's on his property, the Yitol Shelo, and take back the part that's his, and then he doesn't have to pay anything. The Imlav, but if he fails to do that, then he has to pay to make Kinyan Bezul.
What is the Nikaf taking back?
His property. Meaning, this assumes that the wall is built 50% on each property. That's a bad
intento,
right? Space. No, it's a bad read. Yeah, I think it's a bad read for other reasons also, because Mishalim lo zeh, I think zeh is like a way of switching the pronoun by like the other guy. And the Nikaf is clearly the guy paying. So which makes me think that the first reading is right, right? I mean, that the Makif now has the right to take it down, but if the Makif doesn't, then you still pay the amount of hana you received is all. You guys agree with that reading? That's what's going on here? Yes? That's a really important qualification of Tol Eitz Chav Avanecha, right? It means that Tol Eitz Chav Avanecha is not an automatic defeater of liability. As Josh points out, it's really just a way of securing your lower rate of compensation. Everybody agree with that? Yeah, so it's pretty... pretty important Ramban.
How does that work if there's already a din that the Makif can, or that the Yore in general can, you know, take the stuff back? Can we talk about that already?
That the Yore could?
Could take back what he did. Without,
on his own.
Yeah. So here it just sounds like he needs the person to say, well, that's not a deal.
It's interesting.
Not true.
Right. Saying he could always do it on his own. Like Eitzai Vavanai on Inotel.
Right.
So what's this? What's the Chiddush of the Ramban saying Tol Eitz Chav
Avanecha? Well, I mean, it is a Chiddush. It just consciously marked.
Yeah, it seems
to. Sometimes it gets to wait for the beneficiary to say.
Right, to release you, to release you. Yeah, it's an interesting point. Now, do you want to respond to that?
You can also read it as, I mean, this is what you burn out. It's okay.
But what's the Let's see how to discard it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's
okay, so let's put in some comments here. So Hilkach and Ratzayaros, mean, the nikah could knock down the wall. But again, here you have to assume that it's 50% on your property, because there's no way you have a right to knock down a wall that's his and on his property.
It's on the property.
Yeah. Right. So you have to assume that there's 50%, right? Like the yo raid, the market, used some of the nikah's property to build the wall. Right. That's fine. So in which case, tole tzava vanecha, you have the power to knock it down unilaterally and to let him take back what's his. V'im lav, mishalim lo zeh. So it's really just shalo to zeh. That's the pronoun switch, right? To me'akinim, in which case it's exactly like Josh's suggestion, right? Meaning, but a little more extreme than Josh. Josh was saying, all you have to do is say tole tzava vanecha and you're off the hook. If you fail to say that, you're going to pay to make a bezol. That was your view, Josh, right? On this reading of the Ramban, Ned and Romy's suggestion, you have a right to say tole tzava vanecha, actually knock down the wall, right? So like get rid of it or the part that's in your property. So it's not enough to assert it. You actually have to act on that assertion. Right, that's the Chiddush, Ned, that you're contributing, right? And if you fail to actually act on that, then you have to pay up for the benefit. So it's like an intermediate position.
You can't be in a position where you are receiving benefit from it, even though you don't want it there.
Yes. Correct. Great. That's a good reading. So I think those are two viable readings of the Ramban. Anybody have a preference between this latter reading or the first reading? It's pretty bad ambiguous pronoun, no? Like, who's got to act on the tole tzava vanecha and what liability does the nikah have?
Right now, we're just saying Josh is being of the confusion, which is not fitting this line.
So there are two ways to read this. Josh is reading... There's a way to make Josh's reading pretty consistent. The second reading is pretty consistent with Josh, meaning when it's not enough for you to claim tole tzava vanecha to defeat liability, you have to actually try to remove the benefit yourself. But and once you try to remove it, once you actively remove it, then you're off the hook. But yes, I guess a way of putting it is there are three views out there. View number one is Josh's reading of the Ramban and the Chidushim. According to that, once the Nenna says, Tolei Tzava Vanecha, he's off the hook in a Sada Shein Otzi Alita. That's Josh's view. If you fail to make that claim, then you're going to pay to make Kenan Bezol. That's Josh's reading. The Ramban here disagrees with that. The question is, how much do they disagree with that? Ned's reading, he only moderately disagrees with that because the Ramban requires you not only say tolei tzava vanecha, but to actually go and remove the benefit. You have every right to actually remove it, but your failure to remove it is going to make you liable for making it dissolve. That's an edge reading, correct, Ned? The third interpretation, the second in the Mochamos, is totally at odds with Josh's reading. And it says that it's up to the, when you say tolei tzava vanecha, it's actually up to the makif to determine whether he wants to remove the etzem and avanim.
Can you say that the shein rav, like the v'im lav, is really, it's like shein rav that he wants to say tolei tzava vanecha, but he can v'im lav, but if he doesn't say that, then he has the best.
Okay, let's see. So, Shem Ratzah Amo Teisla Vanecha. And if he doesn't want to say that, Mishalim Lozeh Demi Akinim. So, the modifier is over here.
I didn't know that. That talking about the
If you want, you could say tolei tzava vanecha, And then the makif's like totally scot-free to take back what he wants.
Right.
And the imlav really modifies imratza, which brings Josh's reading of the chidushim in line with the house. Two Josh is a very good teamwork over here. I like that very much. Yeah, I think that's really good.
Why is it hooked up?
The makif now has the power to undo it.
Right. Or maybe that's all he has the power to do.
Right. His only recourse is to take it back, not to demand compensation. Yeah, I think that's really good, Joshua. So, that's really good. You guys agree with that possible reading? Okay, so we have three readings of the Ramban and the Machamos about what's going on in this last line here. That's really good, good teamwork. I need to sleep on this for, yeah, which is the right reading. That was really good, guys. That was great. It's worth it to take the train in just for. Did I tell you guys of my crazy story Thursday night? Well, holy moly. So I was supposed to go to this wedding in Florida last Shabbos, or two Shabbos ago already, but I'd gotten sick that week, so I had to cancel my flight to Florida. So I figured I'd go to the Sheva Brachos, stop by on Thursday night. So I Ubered from YU to Inglewood for Sheva Brachos, and then I Ubered from Inglewood to Newark Penn Station to catch a train. Supposed to be on a 10:20 train. That's when Romy's like, oh, why isn't Cheer posted? I'm like, oh, I'm just waiting for my train. I'll post it. And like 10:30, the train doesn't come. 10:40, the train doesn't come. Like Amtrak says, like, oh, the train's delayed a half hour. So I waited out. 12:30, the train's not there. I'm like, it's ridiculous. I got to get home. I got work to do. So I order a Lyft. So it wasn't bad. It was $130 from Newark Penn Station to Philly. I was like, this is great. I'm just going to ride straight home. Problem solved. So guy comes to pick me up. Get in the car at 12:30. I text my wife. I'm like, oh, I'm Ubering home. It's going to be great. 15 minutes in, the guy mutters something to me. I'm like, what? I think I'm my AirPods. I have a flat tire. So he pulls over on the Jersey Turnpike. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning already. And the cars are whizzing by. And he's like, don't worry, I have an air pump. So he starts, it's the front driver wheel, driver side wheel. So cars are like whizzing by, and he like looks both ways, puts like a little air in the tire, like jumps out of the way as a car comes. I'm like, oh my God, he's gonna get killed, and I'm gonna be stuck here all night filing a police report. And so he drives, gets in the car. 30 seconds later, the car goes flat again. So he gets out, he repumps it, he does this four times. So don't worry, there's a gas station 2 miles away where he's gonna fix the tire for me. So at 1:30 in the morning, we roll in at like 2 miles an hour to this gas station. Just drop me off here. I'll get home by myself. So I'm like waiting on the side of the road at this gas station. I order a different Lyft. Guy shows up at 2:15 in the morning. Got back to my car at 4:15 in the morning in Philly. Ended up being a late night for me.
So she was there when I woke up.
Yeah, when I woke up the next morning. I think I might have done a bet lab that night, actually. That's my serious
thing.
You know, you sound like my wife. She's like, oh, but did you call Lyft to get reimbursed? I'm like, the headache of having to deal with them to get reimbursed is like, wait, from Lyft or from?
Your train.
So Amtrak gave me like a $50 voucher for missing the train. But I would call up Lyft, it's just a headache to deal with them to fight it. Yeah. Crazy story, no?
Yeah.
Really a disaster of a night.
And that's exactly why, you know, two of the readings in Ramban are telling. Like, how can you, if someone does something harmful to you, how can you, the burden be on you to solve the
problem?
No, I think that's why Josh is saying we have trauma.
Yeah.
Like, you came into my yard and started like building stuff. I don't want any of this. And you're telling me like, I have to solve the problem.
Right. It's your problem to deal with.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why it makes sense that the makif, that the nikaf shouldn't have to do the undoing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Okay, let me just end with making one further point here for now. So in this last little paragraph in the Ramban, did anybody get a chance to look at this? This is what I sent out on the WhatsApp to look at quickly before Shir. I know it's very late. I had thought I put this on the Makor Rashi, but I guess I neglected to do so. So this last paragraph here, the Ramban says something remarkable. He says, let me explain the view in the Gemara that you're only chayiv for the fourth wall, not for walls 1, 2, and 3. Right, that's one view in the Amoraim and the Gemara. How does he explain that? So anybody get a chance to see what the Ramban said? Look at this phrase. Well, why don't we pick up with this on, might be better to pick up with this on Thursday. Take a look at this phrase. This is remarkable. And when you read this phrase, think back about that Bezdin case that I discussed, about whether we did the right thing. I mean, we probably did the right, we did the right thing. The question is, would the Ramban agree that we did the right thing? Or even more precisely, would the Ramban in his Mochamo stage agree that we did the right thing? Arguably not, because the Ramban here has a very interesting qualification of the Yoreh principle that he just throws in here in this last thing. So think about that. But then I also want you to think about what's the underlying reason why the Ramban says what he says in this passage. What's the halachic mechanism? That's also surprising. Okay, so look at that. Then we're just going to wrap up our discussion about the different rates of paying, you know, Deme, Kinan, Bezol, Natira, Barzuza, et cetera, something very briefly on that. The Balamor we're going to talk about. I don't know if anybody saw the Balamor about how he explains the different theories of evaluation in our sugya. I think the Balamor is Lashitaso about incentivizing the parties to work together. I mentioned that in the WhatsApp. So take a look at the Balamor. There's an interesting Rashbam on Kuf Mem Vav about always giving a discount. Why to make Kinan Bezol, about always giving a discount when something's done against your will. Take a look at that. And then we'll talk briefly about Kam Dina versus Hadar Dina. And that's like almost like a question of the administration of justice. Think of it as related to the Ovid and Ishdina Lanafshe discussion. Does the fact that a court got involved and got involved in a certain way, should that prejudice the party's legal rights, substantive rights? Okay, so Thursday we'll wrap up this whole discussion, and then I'm gonna give like a nice cleaner review synthesis of what emerges from the Makif Nikaf Sugya. Good? All right, Shrek, let's stop there. Bye, Shmuel, thanks for joining.
Thanks for streaming this. I think Noah and the rest of our followers on YU Torah are going to be really happy that pre-Shir Hawk has turned into post/mid-Shir Hawk, and it's on the recording now.
The train story?
Train story, yeah.
Yeah. Crazy story, right?
Yeah.
Pretty wild.
Worked out for the best, or yeah. Okay at least.
That's right.
Have a good one.
See you on Thursday. Are you back in person on Thursday or not yet?
I think Lafi, New York City, I get out at some point on Thursday. I don't think YU is going to let me back until Friday, so.
Love it.
Yeah.
YU goes by the positive tape, not by the symptoms, or?
YU goes by, no, but I think both go, no, maybe you're positive. Right. YU counts the positive date.
Oh, we're holding up everyone's Dominic, so.
Oh, okay. I'll talk to you later about this.
To be continued. Yeah.